Hey everybody, welcome back to My White Belt. This is Jim Trick, your host, as per always. How about last week's episode with Ricardo Almeida? The great Professor Ricardo Almeida had so many great, helpful things to say. And one of my favorite things that he said was this idea of you have to behave to become. You behave to become. That your behavior indicates what's going to happen. And I think this happens like literally in every area of life. But this whole idea of imposter syndrome, of feeling like you step into your belt, you become your belt, was timely and incredibly, incredibly helpful to me. I pulled a muscle in my back and have taken a couple of days. I'm spending time with my chiropractor and have taken a few days off from training, which sucks because I want to be on the mat, because I want to be training and teaching and doing all the stuff that I get to do at First Colony. But I have to take my own advice. And I said to you, I think I said a couple weeks ago, you are a fool if you are not playing the long game. You are a fool if you're not listening to your body, if you're not listening to your doctor, this, that, and the other thing. So I have been stretching and icing and heating and going to my chiropractor and doing all the things that I need to do, but I have not been rolling. I went to class on Monday, watched, shot some video, did that whole thing. But man, oh man, be careful that the questions that you answer on the My White Belt show, because then I have to take my own advice. So somebody just like call in and ask me what it's like to, I don't know, roll like your best roll ever, and then I can give advice about that. And then the next week I'll have my best roll ever. Last couple of weeks we've been talking about some injuries and stuff. So lo and behold, here I am with a pulled muscle in my back, but I'm not here to complain. I am here because this is the My White Belt show, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on. So I mentioned, I think last week, that the website is in the process of being updated. I saw some initial secret pages, and it's my friends are doing it. I can't get over how good it looks. I can't wait to share it with you. And Jeff G, who is one of my coaches who just got his black belt a few weeks ago, has designed our first My White Belt Jiu-Jitsu t-shirt. So anyhow, I think you're going to like it. I showed some drafts on the Instagram a few weeks ago, and I think that we're getting ready to launch, hopefully next week, maybe the week after. I hope training's going great. We have a bunch of questions in the pipeline, so let's jump right in.
Hey, Jim. Huge fan of the podcasts. It's been so encouraging, and I look forward to every new episode each week. So I'm a one-stripe white belt from Ireland, and I train about four times a week. But recently, I feel like I've almost started to go backwards. Training partners who I used to beat or at least be competitive with have now like been beating me up consistently, and it's really disheartening. So I guess my question would be, how can I begin to close that gap again? Should I be training differently, or it's just frustrating? Again, big fan. Hope you hear this.
Thank you for that question, all the way from Ireland. I love that my white belt is global, and that all over the world, people are going through the same white belt things. All over the world, people are training jiu-jitsu, and all over the world, white belts are having a shared experience. And let me just tell you, brother, that I get it. And I'm actually a little surprised that this question has not come up more often. I get it from time to time, but this is one of those things that is so incredibly, incredibly common. And one of my greatest personal frustrations in training jiu-jitsu is the feeling like you are going backwards. You're committed. You love it. You're into it. You're training 4 times a week. Some of you listening are training more than 4 times a week. You're putting your heart and soul into it. You're not spazzing. You're listening to your professor. You're not rolling like a crazy person. And you have a great, like an okay to great couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, as the Irish would say, your game goes to shite. Yeah, I completely and utterly share this frustration with you. And I occasionally go to my coach. Maybe not so much lately, but over the course of my time training jiu-jitsu, I cannot tell you the number of times that I have gone to my professor, my coaches, and have said, I don't know what's happening. I like literally feel like I'm getting worse. Or I show up for class and I'm like, did I literally forget everything that I've ever known about jiu-jitsu? It's outrageously frustrating. I completely feel your pain, and here's the deal. You are, first and foremost, the deal is that you actually are not going backwards. You are not getting worse. How do I know you're not getting worse? I know you're not getting worse because you're training consistently, and my guess is you're doing so with a good attitude. The other reason I have a really clear sense that you're not going backwards is because the feeling that you're going backwards is so common. And I'm going to tell you what my coach has said to me and what I've heard so many higher ranking jiu-jitsu practitioners say. It's a couple things that are true. One, as you continue to train, you are trying a world of different things that you're learning. Maybe during your first couple of months, you were really good at getting into side control and laying down a mean Americana or a mean Kimura. And you were landing that all the time, and it felt great. And you were training maybe with brand new people who also didn't have any skills. Now you've been training for a while and you're learning a bunch of new techniques, and without even realizing it, you're probably not relying on a bunch of your old standbys. Maybe you've gotten tired of particular submissions. Maybe you're working on new positions, but if you feel like you're going backwards, that is a really strong indicator that you are trying new things, and that's the right thing to do. Again, you've all heard me say this a million times. We are not measuring your progression by who you sub. Yeah, you want to get submissions. Yes, particularly in sport jiu-jitsu, in a street altercation, depending on what your motivation is behind training jiu-jitsu. Sure, we all want to get subs, and I'm not going to pretend like subs aren't cool and that that's not what we're going for, because obviously, jiu-jitsu is about, in part at least, about getting submissions. But that's not how we are measuring the totality of your progress. I literally just had this conversation with my professor, Liam, this morning, which is like, you got to tap a million times during a roll. Just say you're going to tap 50 times during a roll. You're going to tap trying new things. You're going to tap going for things. You don't want to tap out of laziness, and you don't want to tap because you're being spazzy and somebody has to put you in your place. But if you're a solid student, you're showing up with a good attitude and you're rolling well, tap. If it means that you're going to expand your game and try new things. But the other thing that's going to happen is, as you willingly try new things and as you tap from trying new things, you are going to feel like you are going backwards. The truth is that in trying new things and expanding the way you think about your game, you're developing your game. you're growing. Now, there's another piece to this that is not an original thought. I know that there are a lot of other professors who talk about what I'm going to talk about. So I just don't want you to think that I came up with this idea. It's called the, when I went through coach training, we called it the steps of competency. The first step in the step of competency is when you are unconsciously incompetent. That's when you show up. Yeah, it's when you show up as a brand new white belt and you don't really know how bad you are. You have no clue what you don't know, the world of things that you don't know. And so you're going to get on the mat, particularly if you're at an academy where you roll right out of the gate, and you're going to be horrible because you don't know anything. And you're not even going to know how horrible you are. You are going to be unconsciously incompetent, which is how you're supposed to start. The next step is conscious incompetence. Conscious incompetence comes after you've been training for a little while. Maybe you've rolled with some advanced students and now you've seen some brand new people come through the door and you have a sense of just how bad you are, just how incompetent you are. And listen, I'm not saying incompetent as a put down. I'm just saying that you're brand new and you have gone from being completely clueless to kind of being aware of how much you have to learn and how far there is to go. And now you're like aware when you're making the same mistakes. Like no matter how many times your coach has said, posture up, break those grips, shift your hips, you're still not doing it. And you know that you're forgetting to do it and you're irritated with yourself. So step one is unconscious incompetence. Second one is conscious incompetence. You know how bad you are. The third step is conscious competence. That's when you think, I could do a scissor sweep right now. You load the person up and you land it and you know that you did it right. That knee shield came up, not too high, not too low. That right leg swept up into the armpit. That left leg was on the mat after loading the person up on top of you, and you consciously were competent in landing that scissor sweep. That's level three, and then level four would be unconscious competence. And that's like brown belts, black belts, like they've trained their bodies, they've trained their mind, they've done these basic movements over for a decade, thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and they are trained. They are trained. And now, you know, if they're doing it right, there are still things that they are working on. There are still things that they are progressing in and working to get better. And you know, I bet there's a world of black belts out there who would say, hey, I've been training for 20 years, but the leg game is kind of new to me. The leg game, you know, when I started doing jiu-jitsu 20 years ago, we weren't really doing a lot of the ashigarami stuff. And they find themselves in that spectrum. Oh my gosh, I have so much to learn. Oh, now I've been doing this for a little while. God, I think my leg game just sucks. And they just continue to train and continue to move forward. So my guess for you, caller, is that you have now transitioned into that place where you've been training for a while. And look, not only are you getting better, but your training partners are getting better as well. And there's an ebb and flow to how we progress and how we improve. So all of that to say, number one, you're not going backwards. Number two, you feel that way probably because you're trying new things and you don't want to stop. Don't stop trying new things. Don't stop putting yourself out there during roles. And then the other piece of this is those four steps going from I have no clue and I have no clue that I have no clue to I have no clue, and I know full well that I know that I don't have a clue, to I have a clue and I know it, to I just have a clue because I've been training so long and so well and so smartly that my game has formed. And that's, you know, I would like to say that that's purple belt and above, but I'm a purple belt and I still feel a lot of times like I'm going backwards, and I have to remind myself of this. I no longer go to my coach and ask the question, am I getting worse? What I do is I continue to train and I wait it out. It's a great question. And if you're listening, you just have to know the advice that I got at the very, very beginning is if you continue to show up and you continue to train, your game will form. You will get somewhere is the way that it was put to me. And I have. And I continue to grow, and I continue to have days or weeks or classes or moments that feel really, really good. And then I have other moments where I'm just like, what am I doing here? And I have absolutely no business talking about any of this with any of you. I'm thinking about, this is what's coming up for me right now. I once watched Jerry Seinfeld and one of the Jimmys, not Jimmy Kimmel. Who's that other Jimmy? Jimmy Fallon. They were having a conversation. And Jerry Seinfeld looked at Jimmy Fallon and said, how soon before you go out on stage do you think to yourself, I can't do this. Like, what am I doing here? I'm not the guy supposed to be doing this. And Jimmy Fallon said that he sometimes feels that way right up until the curtain goes up. And Jerry Seinfeld agreed. Jerry Seinfeld is like, yeah, I stand backstage and I'm like, what am I doing here? I am not who these people think I am. I'm not like some funny guy. Like, they've paid all this money to be here. What am I doing? And then they say his name and he walks out on stage and he knows that he's exactly where he is supposed to be. And so for you and for me, and for all of you listening all over the world who have ever felt like, what am I doing here? Just know that this is universally true across the board. As you continue to train at different points, you will feel like you're going backwards. You are not going backwards. And the way to go forward is to continue to train. Don't let that discouragement take any seed. It's common and it's not real. Okay, let's move on to another question. That was a great question, by the way. Thank you, Dublin or Ireland. I think in America, when we hear Ireland, we automatically think Dublin, the way some people might think New York City when they think about the US. Anyhow, Ireland, thank you for that great question. And let's see who else is here.
Hey, I love your podcast. My name is Jennifer. I'm a white belt, and I was hoping you could help me process a situation that happened to me while rolling the other day. As a new female, I've never really been in the situation where I'm the one who needs to dial things back during a roll. But the other day, I was rolling with a white belt guy, and I could feel that my intensity level was too much. The problem was, in real time, I had a very difficult time dialing things down. And nobody got hurt. It wasn't like I even submitted him or anything. It just felt off. And I'm not sure if I did something wrong or if this is just part of a full contact combat sport. I am used to being the nail and not the hammer. So it was a weird feeling. And I'm not quite sure whether this is something I need to work on or if this is just part of the process. Thank you so much.
Jennifer, thank you for that great question. I appreciate it. And this is a very, very serious, issue. And I'm glad that you brought it up. Thank you for the great question. So, in order to fully understand and to give you counsel on this question, I had to go back. I had to reconnect with the Latin that I've never studied. This required like literally seconds of Google searches. So I just want you to know that I literally put seconds into this. So I've really, 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 you know, labored over this. The Latin term for what's going on with you, and it's going to, my pronunciation is probably going to be horrible, but it's malus asinus. Malus asinus. That is the Latin term for badass. You, Jennifer, are just very simply becoming a badass. And congratulations. That's the goal, right? We all know the song, I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. Yeah, guess what? Guess what, little sister? You are becoming a badass. Now, all joking aside, you know, whatever, good job. Good job being aware that you're turning it up. That's good that you're aware. I don't know. I'm kind of psyched for you. I don't really want you to change anything. In the name of being, you know, doing the right thing, establish position over submission. Don't put your submissions on too hard, too fast. You're not here to give anybody an easy time. You're not here to give anybody an easy time. You're not here to be a jerk, right? You're not here to be reckless or irresponsible. It doesn't sound like you're being any of those things. It sounds like you are being, afflicted with the Latin term malus asinus. You are becoming a badass. As long as you are operating within that set of norms, make them work for it, Jennifer. Make them work for it. Lord knows you're working for it, right? Lord knows you're working for it, and it's working, and it's paying off. I'm just thinking about the times. Anytime that I see somebody at First Colony begin to transition out of those days of just constantly getting smashed to a place where stuff is starting to land. And I'm running over in my mind people that I've watched I'm not going to name names from my school. I'm not going to call anybody out on this, but like people who started out and now they're surpassing me, and it's great. It's so exciting. Congratulations. You're becoming a badass. Be responsible. I love the question. Let's move on to another one.
Hey, Mr. Trick, how's it going? My name's Rob. I'm a white belt. I'm on the verge of getting my blue belt. I've been with my current gym, my current academy, for 3 years. I'm on the verge of getting my blue belt. Just recently, my son has been getting into wrestling, and he's found a gym that offers BJJ amongst many other martial arts. It's all inclusive and they have weights there, and he's wanting to join. I can't afford both, so I'm probably going to make the switch just for him. My question would be, is I want to get my blue belt before I leave this gym, just for sentimental reasons. So should I tell my instructors I'm going to make the switch after I get my blue belt? Or should I just continue to go until I get my blue belt and then tell them, all right, I'm leaving? Any advice you have for me is greatly appreciated. I hope you have a blessed day, sir. Thank you.
Hey, brother. Thank you for that question. I wouldn't want to be in that position. And okay, so here's what I'm thinking. And I'm going to speak from the perspective of just my experience. My academy, where I train, yes, it is a business. It is not my professor's primary business. It's like a second business that he has. And while it is a business and people pay to train there, it is way more of a community, a tribe, and a family than it is a business. So, that being said, I'm going to acknowledge that your jiu-jitsu academy is a business, but I am going to, now that I've acknowledged that, move beyond that fact. For 3 years, you've been training jiu-jitsu. And if I were in your position, you're asking me, so I'm telling you, if I were in your position, there's absolutely no way that I would withhold this from my coach. If this was just a business, if like this was where you went to have your, I was going to say film developed, like it's 1982. If this was like, I don't know, like your barbershop or the place where you go to buy your lunch, that would be different, I guess. But these are your coaches and your teammates. So I think if I were in your, I don't like the position that you're in. What I really want to have happen in a perfect world is I want you to say to your son, yeah, maybe we'll go to that place, but before we go to that other place, I'd really like for you to meet these guys and for you to try their kids program and for you to do this thing, and we can get you weights and you know, we can do all kinds of things that are, you know, a little different, but this is kind of like where our family goes. Like, this is where we go to train. We go to this academy, and maybe just at least sort of set it up for him to try your academy. But that's not really what you're asking. I think you explain to your coach the way you explained this to me, to us. And you sit down and you say, here's the situation. You know, my son really wants to go to this other place. I love training here. This is great. I don't really want to go anywhere else. I can't swing two memberships. And I just feel like I really value this time with my son. I know that, you know, I'm probably about to get my blue belt. And just be just open and clear and honest with your professor the way you would want anybody to be clear and honest with you. And I'm thinking about, like, at our academy, if we were faced with this, and at the end of the day, it's a really, you know, it's a jiu-jitsu academy, so it's, you know, it's tricky and it's complicated, and you know, we train hard and we train seriously, but we really value everybody. So if somebody came to us and they just said, hey, this is what I want, this is what I think I have to do, there's no judgment, there's no shame. We would be like, yeah, we get it. We totally get it. Thanks for letting us know. And I don't know if I'm really clearly answering your question. So here are my two thoughts. One, get that kid to try your academy. Do they have a kids program? Can he do that? Can you just go, yeah, we're gonna try this. We're gonna try our place for 3 months. And if you don't love it, then we'll have a conversation about it. Option number two is that you are going to move to this other gym and you're gonna train jiu-jitsu there. And have a clear, honest conversation with your coach. And yeah, I think it's a fair question. I think it's a tough position. I think that for me, it feels like a uniquely difficult decision because of the relationship that I have with my school. Yeah, as you all know, I have a deep love for my academy. It works like this. My professor, when he was a brown belt, invited me to try jiu-jitsu when I was still a fat guy. And then he got his black belt and he opened a school and I was the first person to sign up. And now he's a second degree black belt and has become one of my closest friends. I still, you know, he's still my professor, you know, and the respect that he has earned in that space is very present, but yeah, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine having to go to Liam and saying, I'm leaving First Colony. So all of that to say, that's what I think. I think that it's a tricky position, and I'm psyched that you're training jiu-jitsu. And it sounds like you're a good dad, and you love your son, and you really want to make sure that this is something that the two of you can do together, which is just an incredibly, you know, it's just a great. It's a great and beautiful thing. The number of little boys and little girls all over the world that would love to have a parent that would say, I'm going to alter my path a little bit for you so that we can do this thing. There's beauty in that. And simultaneously, I think there's beauty in saying, we're going to do this over here for right now and just see how that goes. I will say one other thing to this. One of the greatest gifts that I ever got from my dad was he made me take guitar lessons. I begged for months for a guitar. He finally got me a guitar. I didn't know he was going to make me take lessons. After 2 weeks of lessons, I said, I hate this. I don't want to do this. He said, well, you've shown an aptitude for it, and we bought you a guitar. So for the next 2 years, every Saturday morning, you will go to the Haverhill Music Center, and you will take a half-hour guitar lesson with Michael Pope. And then he said the thing that you never wanted to hear Dad say, which was this phrase. He was in the Navy for 22 years, and he would occasionally end sentences with the phrase, end of report. And so for 2 years, every Saturday morning, I mean, no one ever spoke after Dad said end of report. Some of you military guys are out there laughing at this right now because you know what this is like. But yeah, end of report. And now I play the guitar professionally. I make part of my living doing it. I love it. It's the greatest gift. My dad made me do something I didn't want to do. And I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm saying that it's a potential answer. So thank you for that great question. If you don't mind, follow up with me on Instagram. I would love to hear how this shakes out. Well, I think that's good. We're about at a half hour mark. It feels like every other episode I end by telling you that I've got somebody ridiculous lined up to come on the podcast. And right now I've got like three or four people that are saying, yeah, we love what you're doing at My White Belt and we want to come on. And so next week is going to be somebody coming on. He has 1.5 million followers. He's known all over the world. It's going to be a very, very, very different kind of episode. And I can't wait to tell you who it is, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. If you are listening and finding value in My White Belt, please subscribe. Please click like. Please write a review. Please tell your friends. The website is, again, being updated. We got t-shirts coming. God, I hope you buy some t-shirts. I never want this to be like that kind of thing, but I'm doing this thing that is brand new for me. So I don't know. Whatever. You do what you got to do. That's not why I ever started this or why I thought I was getting into it, but we're going to have t-shirts pretty soon. Lots of them. So that's it. If your question was featured on the podcast, please direct message me your address so I can send you some My White Belt stickers. Yeah, we're becoming that thing. We're doing that whole thing. I am a white belt at this part of this whole thing. So if you want a sticker, the only way to get a sticker right now is to have a question featured on the podcast. So if your question has been featured, send me your address. If you've already sent me your address, please send it to me again. That's enough of me going on and on and on. I hope you have a great week of training. I'm going to go stretch my back. We will be back next week with another episode of My White Belt.